Okay.
I know it's going to get warmer, but okay, all right.
Morning, am I?
Morning.
My thoughts this morning are of treasures. Now, I'm not talking about silver and gold and precious rubies and whatnot, but the true treasures. If you would, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. I just want to take a few moments and a few verses. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Lay not up yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. For where your treasure is,
amen,
there will your heart be also. Brothers and sisters, is our heart, is it looking to Christ today? Have we come to this house to worship His name? Have we come seeking His guidance and His wisdom through His word? I hope and pray that's the reason we're here today. Grab a proverb real quick. So in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 2, treasures of the wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness deliver from death. The treasures of the wickedness profit nothing. Now, I know some people would think that having all the money in the world, they could do whatever they want. They lust after the filthy lucre or the money, treasures, gold, silver. There's been wars fought over money and wealth and land. Brothers and sisters, the true treasure is Christ. As we sang that song this morning in 569, Jesus is all I wish or want. For Him I pray, I thirst, I pant. Let others after earth aspire. Christ is the treasure I desire. Is that what we are desiring this morning? Are we desiring to be with Christ? Are we desiring to have our hearts set upon Him this morning? Not only this morning, but when you go out into the world, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the rest of the week, for the rest of our lives, we should have that desire to have Christ in our heart and seek those things which are above, not on things of the earth. Like it says, for where your treasure is, where your treasure, whatever that treasure is, wherever your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Brothers and sisters, let us be found seeking after God's treasure. Let us be seeking after God's wisdom. We can find it in His Word, and it's here. Thank you.
Amen.
Appreciate what's been said, very much in harmony with what I want to speak about this morning. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's where you'll spend your money. That's where you'll spend your affections. That's where you'll spend your time. Where your heart is. We'll find a way to do what we want to do. Appreciate the thoughts that we've heard. I want to call your attention to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Thoughts that's been on my mind this week is to arise. And I want to emphasize the arise. arise and walk in newness of life. You know, we're still close to the first of the year, a time when we ought to be doing some retrospect and looking back over how we've spent our time and our resources and our heart's affections over the last year, and examine ourselves, like we preached last Sunday, examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith. And where can we improve? You know, a business that wants to stay in business, they need to check that every now and then and just see what they're doing good and what they're not doing good and try to improve. Well, isn't our spiritual life far more important than that? It's a matter of life and death. And so as we think about arising and walking in newness of life, if we can start our day with our mind set upon the Lord, His goodness and mercy upon us, it just helps our day. Haven't you experienced that? Yes. So why would we do anything else? Well, sometimes the alarm doesn't go off. Sometimes the phone rings and we have to do something different. But as soon as we can get back to thinking about how good and merciful the Lord is, the better off we'll be for our day. All right, I hope you found Romans chapter 6 by now. I want to read the first five verses. This is one of those chapters where it's just hard to jump into the middle of it. As a matter of fact, I better back up a couple of verses in the previous chapter, because this is one where if you haven't already read chapter 5, you're going to be kind of in the dark about what he's saying as he begins chapter 6. So let's go back to verse 19 in Romans 5. I'm sorry. Romans 5, verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Who was that one man? Adam, okay? Do you mean something Adam did has affected us? Really? You believe that? 6,000 years ago, something that somebody did is affecting us today? That's truth. That's a truth that we have to understand. That's a truth that's not being preached all across this world. That's a truth that we have to understand, that man has fallen in sin. And without the help of God, without God's power, without God's mercy, without God's grace, that's where we would stay. Because man, when he fell in sin, has no ability and no desire to come to God. Never will. Unless God comes to us, we'll be lost and ruined in all eternity. All right? For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Who is that one? Christ. He's the treasure we desire. We have this treasure, though, in earthen vessels. All right. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, see what he's done for us. See the condition we were in. See the mercy, the grace, the power, the love that God has extended to us. So then, chapter 6 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? How? When we understand what sin did to all of mankind. All have sinned and come short of the glory. All died in Adam. Without exception. All died in Adam. In other words, they were eternally separated from God. And except God had given grace and had made provision already before he ever made man, no one would ever be saved. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? If God has blessed us to understand that we're sinners, if God has blessed us to understand that by his love and his mercy and his grace he sent his son to this world to save us from our sins, how could we live any longer in sinful ways? Our life ought to be to the praise and honor and glory of the one who loved us and gave himself for us. That's our point. All right? So we go on in Romans 6 now. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. There's a lot here in this baptism. It's not water baptism only that's being spoken of here. Water baptism is for the answer of a good conscience. Bless your hearts, unless we have been baptized by the Spirit, unless we've been born again, unless God has given us his Spirit and quickened us from a death in sins to a life in Christ and made us aware of the fact that when Jesus came to this world to save his people from their sins, when he went to the cross and died, when he arose again, bless your heart, he was doing it for his people. And baptism is a picture of his death, burial, and resurrection. And if he did that for us, if he died and rose again for us, then every time that we identify with him and say we want to follow Jesus because we believe that he died for us, as we go through water baptism, it's simply an identification with him that he's my Savior. He died for me. He rose again, and because I live, ye shall live also. Our hope of eternal life is Jesus Christ and him crucified, risen again, and he's coming back to get us, to take us home, to be with him forever. As we think about what he has done for us, then we should arise each day and walk in newness of life because of what he has given to us. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Arise and walk in newness of life. By the grace of God, by his mercy, by his love, he has given us life. If we think about it, first of all, if we're going to arise and walk in newness of life, that means we have already experienced the new birth. Okay? The natural man doesn't decide he's going to do this. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. It's foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. In other words, without the Spirit, we can't understand it. Without the Spirit, we don't desire it. Without the Spirit, we can never seek to please God. This life has been given to us before we knew anything about God. Now, the new birth, whereas there are millions of those within the ranks of Christianity that are taught something that they should do, or exhorted to do something in order that they can be born again, the truth of the scripture is the Spirit, like the wind, blows where it listeth. Isn't that what Jesus told Nicodemus? Thou canst hear the sound thereof, but canst not tell from whence it cometh nor whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born the Spirit of God. It comes upon us like the wind. It's not something we invite. It's not something that we manufacture. It's something that God by his grace gives us. Just like your natural birth, you didn't decide who your father was going to be. You didn't decide what family you were going to be born into. You didn't decide you wanted life. And so it is in the spiritual realm. God gives life. Bless your hearts. And then Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sins." That was our condition. God, by his mercy and by his grace, has given us life. All right? So we have this life, as we're speaking about arising and walking in newness of life. God gives us the life. Now, what we do with it varies tremendously. How much we respond to what God does for us varies greatly, doesn't it? I wish it didn't. I wish we would all just arise each morning and walk in that newness of life in absolute perfection. We know someday, we're going to be able to do that. Not this side of glory, but bless your hearts when Jesus comes again. When he raises us from the dead or changes those that are alive and remain, he's going to take away all of those limitations, those imperfections, all that sin that dwells in us right now. He's going to fashion us like unto his glorious body and take us home to be with him, where sin will never bother us anymore. If you want to talk about something being left behind, all your sinfulness is going to be left behind. I'm ready for it, aren't you? Oh, bless you. But he's given us that life, and he's quickened us. And so after he's quickened us, then we begin to understand. Then we have the ability to hear the gospel. What a blessing that is. You know, there's some folks that say, "Well, if I believe what you believe, why would you preach the gospel? Why do you want to exhort people if they're saved by the work of, by the blood of Christ, and you're going to be safe in heaven?" Well, bless your hearts, the preaching of the gospel is to save us now. Save us from this old flesh. Save us from this world. You know, that's nothing new. Acts chapter 2, when the apostle Peter was preaching to those Jews on the day of Pentecost, he told them, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." All right, this morally blemished generation. Save yourselves from that. And so we're exhorted from the scriptures to save ourselves. So, Philippians chapter 2, he says, as you have obeyed, not, let me turn to it. There's a word I'm not getting. "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Work out your own salvation. I thought Jesus saved me. He did eternally. He shed his precious blood to redeem us from our sins. But there's a response that we need to make. In Romans chapter 8, when he goes over I believe it was Matthew Henry, called it the golden chain of redemption. The foreknowledge and the predestination and the justification and the glorification, all those things. Paul says, "What shall we then say to these things?" In other words, how are we going to respond to what God has done for us? How are we going to respond? Are we going to arise and walk in newness of life each day, or are we going to serve ourselves? I think that's a good question. I think it's a question that we need to ask ourselves every day we live. Who are we serving? We need to arise and walk in newness of life. All right, so he's given us life. We have that by the grace of God. He's quickened us by his grace and blessed us to be able to have those spiritual faculties that we can then hear and understand the things of the Spirit. We need to respond to the gospel in order that we might do those things which will be pleasing in thy sight. Colossians chapter 1 reminds us that he has delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, scripture is precise. It says he has translated us. He's delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us. In other words, there had to be a change. Most of the times we speak about translating, unless you're a mathematician, most of the times we speak about, when we speak about translating, we're talking about from one language to another. Why is that necessary? When someone has is speaking a language, I remember the first time I was ever in the presence of somebody that wasn't speaking English. It kind of made me feel funny. You know what I'm talking about? You know, they're saying something, but I don't know what they're saying. We know that's kind of the way it is spiritually. You ever been in a good meeting or had a good experience and felt like the Lord was particularly merciful to you and you were trying to tell somebody else and they just kind of had that glassed over look? Yeah. They didn't understand. God has translated us. When we're born of the Spirit, there is a change. There is new hearing, new seeing, new feeling that comes with spiritual life. Now we can hear the gospel. Now we can hear the things of God. Now we can have appreciation for things that once before we had no appreciation for whatsoever. He's translated us. He delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. See, that's what he's done for us. So when you awake each morning, arise and remember you're a child of God. He's translated you into the kingdom of his dear son. And so as we go through our day, may we represent our Lord and Savior and walk in this kingdom. Oh, we have to make our way in Caesar's kingdom all the time, but we need to press into the kingdom of God so that we can honor him and serve him and be a blessing to the others that are in the kingdom of God. Isn't that a privilege that we have each day, that we can do something to be a help to others? That God has put the desire in us to love one another and to do something to be a positive impact in the kingdom of God? Absolutely. If we don't arise and walk in newness of life, we're not going to have that impact. We're not going to have that influence like the salt and that preserving influence that salt provides. We're not going to be letting our light shine. By the way, remember what Jesus said about salt that's lost its savor? That's not having influence? That's not doing things that would preserve this culture? Do you remember what Jesus said about that? If somebody has lost, if the salt has lost its savor, he said it's good for nothing. It's good for nothing. And by the way, that salt is you. Ye, he said, are the salt of the earth. So if ye have lost your savor, ye are good for nothing as far as the kingdom of God is concerned. Boy, I need to remember that on a regular basis, don't you? I need to remember that. So he's given us a new birth. He's awakened us to our true condition and our need for him. He has blessed us to be translated from, delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear son. And that's what the gospel does, is calls us from darkness into light. That's the power, that's the purpose of the gospel. For those who are saved, and that sounds kind of strange, doesn't it? The gospel are for those who are already saved eternally, to help us to save ourselves from this untoward generation. And we need it. I tell you, if we're not reading this Bible, if we're not praying to God, if we're not hearing the preaching of the gospel, we'll slip into these old ways. We'll be serving ourselves and not the Lord. So we need the gospel on a regular basis. So, I believe Kenneth read this not long ago. Colossians chapter 3. If you then be risen with Christ. See, what we've been talking about so far is that we have to be born again of the Spirit before we have any desire to look to God. And so in Paul, when he begins to exhort the brethren in Colossians to godly living, he puts this requirement down there. If you then be risen with Christ. Are you a child of God? Have you been blessed to see his glory? Have you been blessed to see your need of him? If you then be risen with Christ. We're talking about being born again. We're talking about regeneration. If you then be risen with Christ. He came to save us from our sins. He went to the cross and died. He paid our sin debt. He rose again for our justification. We want to be identified with him. Because of what Adam did, it passed upon everyone without exception. And we need the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal salvation, and we need him every day we live. We need his help. We need his guidance. We need his spirit to lead us to make the right choices as we try to walk in newness of life. But it's a battle, isn't it? Galatians 5 talks about that conflict between the flesh and the spirit. There's a warfare there. Oh, how we need to be pressing into that kingdom and asking the Lord for his help. All right, Colossians 3. If you then be risen with Christ. See, if you're not risen with Christ, there's no reason, or we don't know who it is in preaching the gospel, so we preach the gospel, and whoever can hear it is called upon to respond to it. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above.
Amen.
What is that? Seek those things which are, let me read the rest of it. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection, the whole of it now. Set your affection, not with an S, but the whole of your affection. Set your affection on things above. Not. How could we arise and walk in newness of life if our affection is set on the things on this earth? Christ is up there above. Christ sitteth at the right hand of the Father. His mercy is what we need each day. His grace is what has saved us from our sins. His love. His fellowship, communion with his Holy Spirit, his word, his ways, those are the things that we need to be able to walk in newness of life. Because when we do that, we honor him who loved us and gave himself for us. When we don't do those things, we're serving the flesh. And it does not honor the Lord. Set your affection on things above, not on things. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Every blessing that we ever hope to have comes through Christ. Everything. Why wouldn't we look to him and set our affection on things above? Looking to him for all that we stand in need of. Titus chapter 2. Wonderful passage, isn't it? Titus 2 says, for the grace of God, which bringeth salvation, hath appeared to all men, teaching us. If we're going to walk, if we're going to arise and walk in newness of life, we need to remember this teaching, don't we? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously and godly in this present world. If we're going to arise and walk in newness of life, we need to remember what the gospel teaches us. That denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Oh, as we think about arising to walk in newness of life. You know, anytime the preacher exhorts someone to godly living, like the verse we just described, anytime the preacher exhorts you to godly living, it's a call to repentance. Whether the word is used or not, it is a call to repentance, because by nature, this old nature that we have, this sinful nature, this lust of the flesh that we have, it wants to draw us after the things of this world. But bless your hearts, we want to serve the Lord. Do you remember the first thing that Jesus said if we're going to be his disciple? Do you remember the first thing that he said we have to do? If any man will come after me, let him what? Oh my goodness. Why is that at the top of the list? Why? The first thing he says is let him deny himself. Because if you can't serve two masters. Didn't he say that in Matthew 6? You can't serve two masters. You're going to love one and hate the other. Or vice versa. But you cannot serve two masters. And so he says, if any man will come after me, which we've told you 100 times, 1,000 times, that means if any man will be like me. What did Jesus do? He came not to do his own will, but the will of him that sent me. And you know what he did? He saved us. And of all thou hast given me, he said, I shall lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. Now, what we're talking about? What Jesus has done for us has saved us. But we need to save ourselves. So we cannot serve two masters. We cannot serve the flesh and serve God. We have to deny ourselves first and take up our cross and follow him. And that's where you'll find the most blessings. That's where you'll find the most peace. That's where you'll find the most joy, in denying yourself. This old flesh says that'll never work. No. This old flesh says I'm only going to live like once. I'm going to live for myself. You know, there's commercials on TV used to tell you that all the time. Probably some still do. Only live once. Well, bless your hearts. That's a lie from Satan. Denying ourselves and taking up our cross and following him is the path of life and joy and peace and happiness here, now, in this life that we have. You know what Paul said to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Oh, what blessings when we arise and walk in newness of life. Now I want to dwell for a moment on this arising. You know, and it's a good thing, but we tend to think about our day as starting when we wake up in the morning. Right? I think we'd all kind of say, yeah, you know, that's the way it is. Well, you know this in the Bible, the Jewish day started at 6 o'clock in the evening. And I invite you just to think about this for just a moment. As you close out your day, and I hope this is already your habit, when you lie down at night to go to sleep, thank the Lord for the blessings of the day. Thank him for his grace. Thank him for delivering you from the power of darkness, translating you into his kingdom. I believe it'll help your sleep. I believe it'll help you get more rest. If we can rest in the Lord a little bit before we take our rest for the night. You'll be better equipped then if you've had your thoughts on the Lord when you've ended your day and ready to take your rest. You'll be better equipped then to arise the next morning and walk in newness of life. David made a statement in Psalm chapter 3. Psalm 3, I'm just going to get verse 5 for the interest of time. But David was being surrounded with enemies. His troubles were multiplied. He was in a terrible condition. You know, sometimes we can feel that way. We can feel like that the weight of the world is on our shoulders. We can feel like that we've got a multitude of enemies. And if not enemies, we've got things working against us or things we can't do or whatever the case might be. But David was experiencing that in Psalm 3. But what did he do? Did he lay there all night saying, "Woe is me"? Listen to what he says in verse 5. "I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me." I think about that for just a moment. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. Think about this for just a moment. How much time throughout our day are we not in the Lord's care? Are we ever out of the Lord's care? You wouldn't just say that because you know that's what I want to hear, would you? Do you really believe that? Really? Now I'm going to ask you one more time. Do you really? And I'm saying to the believing to the point that you trust it. Do you trust that you are in the hand of the Lord? Doesn't that just flood your soul just to think about it with peace? Because you're in the hand of one who is able to supply your every need. You know, I love and appreciate every one of you here. And I believe that if I was really in trouble, that any one of you here would do what you could to help me. I believe that. But I also know that we're limited. I mean, if somebody needed me, I realize I'm limited. In knowledge, in wisdom, in ability, in finances, in whatever. You know, I'm limited. Our God is the Lord of hosts. That means He's the God of endless supply. He's a God who knows all things. He's the eternal God. That means He'll always be there for us. You know, Mom and Daddy do everything that they can to help us while we're alive. But there comes a time, usually, when they're no longer around. Let's see, what did David say about that? When mother and father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. You can always trust in the Lord. He's always there for us. Always. But we don't always go to Him for the help we need. But He is always there. He's always able to help us. So when you lie down at night, before you drop off to sleep, and quite frankly, if you're in this frame of mind when you drop off to sleep and don't get a whole lot done, I'm okay with that. Because what better way to go to sleep at night is be thinking about the rest that we have in the Lord. And then when you awake, thank Him for the blessing of that rest. Thank Him for the blessings of that night. and arise and walk in newness of life. He's given you that newness of life. And the glorious thing about that newness of life is that what he has given us in the way of eternal life, that new life that we have in Christ, it's forever new. The outward man perishes, but the inner man is renewed day by day. We may get to the place where we're not capable of doing very much outwardly, but that inner man is still alive and well. When God does something new, when God gives us something new, you look at the meaning of that word, it means forever new. You know, you buy something new in this world and it's new for a little while. And then it's used. Then it's old. Then it fades away. But bless your hearts, what God has given us is forever new. That spirit within us, that new life in Christ, is forever new. It's eternal. That's right. And so as we think about, though the outward man perish, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. How? By the grace and mercy and love of God. And the more we focus upon that, and the more we thank him for that, and the more we follow after the ways of righteousness, bless your hearts, the better this inner man is going to be able to handle whatever the outer man is experiencing. We need it. We need to be arising and walking in newness of life. The whole purpose of our calling, he calls us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And when Peter speaks about that in 1 Peter 2 and 9, he talks about that we should show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. If we're not arising and walking in newness of life, how can we be praising him? How can we be showing forth his praises? Oh, as we think about all the glory of what he has done for us, may God help us to have a mindset each morning to arise and walk in newness of life. It's going to have a lot to do with where we've set the affections of our heart. If we've set the affections of our heart upon the things of this world, if our treasures are in the things, in the mammon of this world, we can't serve two masters. We're going to be missing out on walking in this newness of life. I'm not saying you can't pursue your career. I'm not saying you can't give all to your job throughout the day. But when you start it with the right perspective, and when you pursue it with the desire that the thought that you're serving the Lord and not man, you know, just keeping that thought in mind that you're serving the Lord and not man will help you to do a better job. But as we go through doing all the demands that are put upon us each day, if we can do it with a godly demeanor, if we can do it resting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we can do it in remembering the ways of righteousness that he has taught us to walk so that we can please him, if we can do it in a way that we can have a good influence, be salt, if we can do it in a way that lets our light shine, that gives glory to God, for whatever we're able to accomplish in the world, we need to give God the glory for it and thank him for it. For everything we have has come from him. So may God help us. And you know, one little verse of scripture that will help us keep the right kind of mindset throughout the day. Remember Psalm 116? I know time's gone. Without getting into Psalm 116, it begins this way. I love the Lord because. I love the Lord because. You know, that kind of goes right along with that song we sang this morning about counting your blessings. Count your blessings. I love the Lord because. Now, David expressed there that the Lord had heard his prayer. That's something wonderful to thank the Lord for, isn't it? because we have our needs each day. We have our challenges each day. Our family has their challenges each day. Oh, that we could remember that the Lord hears our prayers, that He is able to supply our needs. May God help us to remember why we love the Lord. Basically, John told us, 1 John 4:19, we love Him because He first loved us. He had mercy upon us. He gave us His love first. You know, isn't that what real love's all about? It's sacrificial. It's unconditional. And God's love is everlasting. Everlasting. And if we're going to love others the way He loves us, it needs to be unconditional. It needs to be sacrificial. In my mind, we may feel like they don't deserve it. Well, guess what? We didn't deserve God's love, but He gave it to us anyway. And He keeps giving it to us anyway. And He gives it to us every day we live. Oh, may God help us. Each morning when we awake, because we prepared our heart and going to sleep that night, may God help us to arise, remembering all that He's done for us, remembering the life that we've been given because the Lord Jesus Christ died and rose again for us. May we live our lives to His honor and His glory, trying to serve Him as best we can because He loved us when we were unlovable. And may we show our love. May we respond to Him and showing our love to Him throughout our day. Arise and walk in newness of life. You'll be blessed. God bless you.